Peace.
Vision, dreams of passion. And all the while I think of you. A very strange reaction. The more I see, the more I do. Baby. Tell all your friends they can go my way, pay your toll, sell your soul, pound for pound, cost more than
back
gold.
On the podcast.
Hey! Hey, full house today, ladies and gentlemen. Full house on the podcast. We got a full panel of experts on all things cinema, which means we watch movies and we pretend that we know stuff about them.
I've seen movies.
Corey has seen
we
movies.
We know some things.
So we'll go around the table real quick. This is Pop Junk Movies. As always, across from me is Evan the Red. Evan,
the beard's coming back.
The beard is coming back. Yeah. It's that time of year again.
It's definitely that time. It's that special time of year.
It is that special time of year. To my left, Corey Flintoff. How you doing?
Hi.
Hi. Just got here. And to my right, Mr. Dexter Brooks.
Hello.
Hello. So we, before we talk about what we're drinking, because that's part of the show, I'm just going to say right now that since about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, we did the top movies of 1994. So now we're going to go even further back, and we are going to do the top five movies of 1984. Because there's a lot of really cool movies that are having a 30th anniversary.
Some, but not a lot.
There are some movies having their 30th anniversary, yes. And then some really good movies.
Upon doing this list, I found out that
not a ton of
there's a
movies.
Lot of shit
yeah.
in 1984.
So, real quick, Pop Junk Movies, where we drink beer and talk about movies. Obviously, everyone knows we're a fan of the fall, of the autumn,
yep.
of the Halloween. And it is no surprise that I am drinking the Shock Top Pumpkin Wheat.
Pumpkin Wheat?
Wheat.
Pumpkin Wheat.
Is it good?
Wheat?
It's delicious. Yeah, I like it a lot.
Come sip.
Yeah, you might have to pass that around.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's gonna. We are gonna share germs.
Like a cheap whore.
You one up me on that because I was gonna buy that.
Yeah.
With a pumpkin.
I like the. Sometimes pumpkin can be overwhelming. I like the pumpkin wheat because it has like that wheat. The wheat beer kind of flavory. Corey, what are you swilling tonight?
I got the Samuel Adams Oktoberfest.
Mm-hmm. A staple of the podcast.
It is October and I'm having a festival.
Evan.
I'm doing Sierra Nevada Flipside Red IPA again. I mean, it's got to be a good fall beer because, I mean, there's a tree on the front without leaves.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
that's
right.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's got to be fall, right?
Yeah. And Mr. Brooks.
I'm doing the Samuel Adams Harvest.
Yes, because it is Harvest.
Pumpkin Ale. Yeah.
I like that more than the Oktoberfest, but I like them both.
October?
I'm just saying.
That just won't do.
So before we get into, our movies, our selections of our top five favorite movies of 1984, let's do some now playing because we've been watching some new stuff.
I actually watched some movies.
Evan watched a couple movies. Dexter watched a movie. I watched a show. I think Corey
watched a show. Watched a show and a movie.
So let's kick this out right now. I'm watching two shows currently that I am very much enjoying. First one just debuted on Fox 2 weeks ago. It's a show called Gotham.
I've only seen the first episode.
I'm not going to talk spoilers or anything.
I'm just going to
give general feelings about the show. I had mixed feelings going in. I was a little touch and go. I wasn't really the way that they're... Basically, it's Batman as a little kid, and the main character is James Gordon, played by Ben McKenzie. The funny thing about this show that I keep pointing out to people that... the two stars of the show are, one is the guy I think I look like, and one is the guy I actually look like. I think I look like Ben McKenzie. He's a very handsome man. I kind of look like Donald Loesch.
Yeah.
I kind of look like him.
Yeah, you do.
So, but I'll say so far, two episodes in, I'm in on this
I'm
show.
Hooked.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
I gotta watch
it's a very, it's a very cool twist on the whole Batman
There's
mythology.
Some cool I mean, Gotham itself, the city, looks amazing.
Yeah, it looks cool. The set pieces and the location.
They kind of do like a old school Gotham look, but with like some updated cars.
But it's modern.
Cell phones
yeah, it's
stuff.
Modern.
So
they've
it's
got their cell phones and whatnot. I like the biggest selling point for me is the way they're developing the villains.
Yeah.
Where they're not revolving the episodes around them, but they're always kind of living in that world. You know, like, mm-hmm. we see the Penguin in the first two episodes, and they're, like, showing kind of how he's become the Penguin. And it's pretty cool. It's not as, like, I watched Smallville for a long time, and I always got really frustrated by that show because they were so, they didn't want to dig deep into the mythology of the comic books. This one's going a different way. This one, yeah. they're getting right into
it. I read that they're going to bring in a young Harvey Dent, which is pretty cool.
That's going to be awesome.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's going to be really cool. Nice. The only thing that, like, aesthetically, like, is not so super, like, I don't like the fact that, like, Batman is, he's basically, like, a little kid, and all of his rogues gallery are all, like, 20 years older than him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, when he's, like, a buff dude, like, in his 30s, he's beating up on, like, 50-year-old dudes.
Banging up 50-year-old
yeah,
dudes.
You know what I mean? Like, the Penguin's all old.
Who are you working, like, for?
Yeah.
AARP.
Leave me alone.
I'm retired.
So far, so good on that show. Another show I've been watching, this show is available on Netflix, that I was super apprehensive to watch, that Evan kind of sold me on it, and then I watched the first two episodes, and I was pretty hooked. It's on the El Rey network.
I don't know anybody who has it.
I don't know. I've never seen it.
But it is on Netflix.
But I like From Dusk Till Dawn, the series.
It's awesome.
Haven't watched it yet.
It's a really cool take. Basically, they take the two-hour movie, and they expand it into 10 episodes. And they pump all this backstory and exposition into each episode. And
it's like they expanded hugely on the first movie.
Right. Like, they have, like, this, you know, the bare bones of the movie, but they've, like, it's so different. But it's the
just
same.
Just spiced it up.
Yeah. Like, they've given backstory to the family. They've given backstory to Seth and Richie. I like the guy who plays Richie Gecko.
I like the guy.
Really good.
I love the guy who plays Seth.
He does a very good George Clooney.
Great Clooney.
Yeah, the guy's name is DJ Contra. The only thing I've ever seen him in is Rise of the second G.I. Joe movie. Yeah. And he wasn't good in that. But he's good in this show. He does a decent Clooney.
I'm sold. I want to watch it.
It's really cool.
I actually kind of forgot about it.
Like, you know the Salma Hayek character in the movie?
Yeah.
She, like, is a main character. Like, wow. She's almost like a main villain.
Yeah.
And, like, they add in, like, this ranger guy that's, like, trying to track them down. It's really cool. I like it a lot.
I love
it. It's not perfect. There's some missteps. It's not amazing, but it's enough to, like, all right, I'm going to watch all 10 episodes.
I mean, that's
I'm on episode 9 right now.
That's
nine,
about perfect. As weird as it can get to be, you know, a 10-episode miniseries about a Robert Rodriguez.
You have one, one episode left.
Yeah, I was I'm in the middle of the
next
episode.
I don't know what you think of the end. It's good. Have you seen the episode when they're going on that fake job?
Yes.
That episode is fucking awesome.
Yes.
I love that episode.
Which number is that around?
That's like the second to last episode.
Yeah,
towards the end.
They have to go on a job, but it's like,
it's
not real. Yeah, but it's awesome.
Yeah, I don't even want to get too into spoilers, but
bang it out.
It's really good. I even thought that the addition of, what's his name? Wildemir? What's the dude?
Wilbur? Yeah, from that 70s show.
That 70s show, he's one of the villains, and I was like, oh, him.
I love
but he's good.
I love the new take on vampires. They're like, they're like snake versions of vampires.
Well, they kind of were in the movie, almost.
They were all different kinds.
Towards it,
yeah,
they were bats.
They were like bats.
It's cool. But she looked like a snake, but
she did, yeah.
And it's like the snake venom turns you into a vampire.
Right. It's cool.
And they can bite you and suck your blood and not give you the venom and you wouldn't be a vampire.
Yeah.
Huh.
Which is
so
cool.
So that's what that was. Evan is celebrating Neeson season
currently. Yeah, I watched two movies since it's Neeson season and nobody seems to know when Neeson season ends. I watched a Walk Among the Tombstones.
Whistling Through the Graveyard is what I call it.
And I believe Dexter also watched Walk Among the Tombstones. Can't tell you who directed it.
Don't care.
No, like, I saw the name, it didn't jump out at
it's
me.
It's not like one of the big whatever.
I didn't really notice any other actors, really.
Do you need any other actors when you get Neeson?
No, I mean, everybody was fine. Like, you know, there's a child, I mean, would you call him a child? He's a kid.
He's a kid. He's like the right-hand man, if you will.
Yeah, and I thought he was a really good part of the movie. Basically, the movie's about Liam Neeson. It begins as he's a cop, and...
Is he on the edge?
He's very much on the edge. And he's an alcoholic.
I like my cops on the edge with booze.
I like loose cannons.
Yes. Well, but continue.
But he's an alcoholic, and
he is Irish.
He chases down these guys that try to rob this diner,
right?
And they shoot the guy behind the counter. So Liam Neeson, he chases after these guys, and he kills two of them.
Of course he does.
Yeah, hits one in the leg. And then, and
these aren't spoilers, right?
No, no, no. And then we flash to him. He's no longer a cop, and he's a private investigator.
Oh, right.
And basically, the movie's like your classic, you know, gumshoe private eye. Okay.
Like gumshoes.
He's an unlicensed private investigator.
No, that's not safe.
And his basically his thing is sometimes people ask him to do things, and they give him presents. Oh, that's how he describes it.
Okay.
But he's like on the trail. These two killers.
Cool.
It
sounds cool. This really sounds kind of like a wait for DVD situation, though.
I mean,
you saw it in the theater. Dexter,
it was really.
Yeah,
how was it?
I watched it on my laptop.
Yeah, right.
Well, when I saw it in the theater, I went to a matinee, and it was like 10 people in the theater.
Yeah, well,
So, but it was perfect. It was an intimate setting, if you want to put it that way.
Intimate.
I'm pretty adamant.
Like, it was pretty awesome to have like 10 people in the theater at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was an awesome movie for that.
I'm pretty adamant on this. A really good theater experience bumps up a movie for me.
Yeah.
It bumps up the score.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
But I liked it. I think I'd give it a 3. I'd give it three or five. Yeah. It was decent enough.
That sounds DVD.
I enjoyed it.
I will.
I had some unanswered questions at the end.
Yeah, I did too.
Well,
What would you give it?
I'd give it a 5.
Well,
really?
Hold on.
I liked it. Yeah, but you can't just stop throwing out 5.
I mean, five is like pretty fucking
good.
Are
we doing like 10?
No, five. That's why I gave it a three. On a ten scale,
he just gave it a 50%.
We didn't tell you the scale.
Yeah, so it was like a 3.
We didn't know the
three
range.
Stars.
It's okay.
Okay.
3 stars is generally just a good movie.
Sorry for the listeners for all those voices firing at you.
I would watch it.
No, it's fine.
I'm not throwing out, you know, 5 stars. I'm throwing out like...
That's why we were like, whoa!
50%.
So I had to see this movie right now.
It was like the part in Goodfellas when Polly pulls out the gun. When
Tommy
pulls out the gun and waves it around and everybody goes, whoa!
Exactly.
So,
what's your other decent movie that you watched?
I don't
want to dwell too long on these movies because I can't get spoilers.
No.
So,
the other Liam Neeson movie for Neeson season I watched was called Nonstop. Neeson plays I don't know who directed it.
It doesn't matter.
He directed
it. Neeson.
Yeah.
He's a man on the edge with loose morals, but a heart of
the other actor or actress in the movie was fuck. What the fuck is her name? Doesn't matter. There's another big actor or actress in the movie. And,
it doesn't matter. It's Neeson.
She's in Boogie Nights.
Oh, Julianne Moore?
Julianne Moore's in it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, okay. No, okay.
Yeah,
she plays a big nobody. But Liam Neeson is, again, he's a drunk. And this one also. I mean, I don't care. I love it. I eat that shit up.
Yeah.
But he plays a air marshal on a flight. And then begins to receive text messages of a guy threatening the plane to kill people on the plane. And Liam Neeson tears the fucking plane apart and beats up every fucking passenger to find this killer. It's great.
You're playing Snake on your phone. He will give you a blast.
No
bejeweled here.
This isn't spoilers at all, but he fucking sends everybody to business class and starts yelling at everybody. It's a great movie.
So far, you've sold me on this one more than the other one.
I loved it.
Okay.
I think I like Nonstop more.
Okay.
I just like hearing somebody get scolded in business class by Liam Neeson.
Seriously.
This movie really flew under the radar. I don't think it got great reviews, but I mean, I was in with this movie from the get go.
I remember the commercial.
Yeah, it's just a classic suspense thriller.
Cool.
I was very entertained. I'd give this one a 3.5.
I want to watch it because I like movies that have almost like that one act feel.
Yeah,
to
it's
it.
A very
like
compact
one,
film.
Yeah.
That
one single location, like Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
That single location and everything kind of unfolds.
Yeah, all right. I liked it. I liked Nonstop.
Celebrating Neeson season in style. Corey, you said you had a movie.
Yeah, I watched Addams Family.
Tis the season.
It's Halloween.
Can I talk real briefly before you
absolutely.
Get going on this? That movie still holds up.
Yes.
I was just going to say.
Great movie.
Oh, yeah.
I very much am a fan of the Addams Family movie.
So, I fucking love that movie.
I was
first
going
one more
through,
so the second one.
Yeah.
Values of Sin.
I was going through.
I heard the production on that movie was hell.
Oh, I'm sure.
Really?
Yeah, I heard it was miserable.
The first one?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, was it Barry Sonnenfeld, I think, was the director?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, it's a great fucking movie.
Oh, it's great.
But
it's very funny.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of tearing through Netflix trying to find something decent to watch, and I was looking through my list, and I said, "Oh shit,
you
Adam's
know,
Family."
I wouldn't mind if they remade that.
If they did it like an updated version.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
At all. I feel like it wouldn't get the tender loving care that this one got.
It'd be hard to do it with different actors because of what the precedent.
They could make it in black and white and make it just like the TV show.
That would be really cool.
Yes.
But yeah, I agree with what Dexter's saying though.
I would rather get a Munsters movie.
That would be a different one that we could
get.
That'd
be sick.
But you're not gonna get a better actor. I mean, I know this
Raul Julia. Angelica Houston.
There's some really Christopher Lloyd.
Christopher Lloyd was in. Yeah. The one thing though that I took away from this time watching it as a grown up was I never understood completely the very, very end when I was a kid.
What do you mean?
He was Fester the whole time.
Right.
And that was kind of lost on me because there wasn't really like a huge reveal.
Right.
The woman who was supposed to be like Gordon's mom was like, "I should have left you where I found you."
I think
but
I know what you
no
mean.
Big,
like,
you know, I mean,
like,
there was no big like, "Oh hey."
Was he Fester the whole time, or did he just take on Fester?
He
at
was
the end?
Fester the whole time, yeah. But Raul Julia says that at the end he's not even on camera, and it's such a quick, sloppy wrap-up.
He's
like, "Hey Adam, could you believe it? That was Fester the whole time. He just had amnesia." Mm-hmm. And then, like, they rolled the credits, and I feel like, as a kid, I wasn't like, "Oh wow, what a cool twist."
Yeah.
So like now I'm like, that was cool, but it seems like you guys wrote that.
I feel like I didn't put enough thought into it. And I was just like, I knew that. I don't know, like it just kind of like it just kind of rolled off.
It was a little bit weird for me. Is that maybe I'm a stupid kid?
No,
I didn't.
I just like the
Evans with me. I had fun watching but I just didn't get that.
I just like the mamushka scene.
Oh, the mamushka.
The dance of the mamushka.
Tonight we dance a mamushka.
Me and Evan will dance the mamushka on my wedding.
And then the other thing that was weird was the guy, Tully, was like the evil lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His wife was like in on it.
Doesn't he die?
No.
Yeah. No, well, they fall in like caskets and the caskets close.
Yeah.
Like, grounds bury them.
Yeah,
and they're like, wow, that was heavy.
Yeah, they
don't really mention.
They bury
what
them alive.
To them.
Well, like, it was like the little claw thing. And they're like, see you later.
Yeah.
But they, he got in trouble, obviously, for like trying to extort money from them.
Yeah.
So did like that Gordon's fake mom.
Right.
But Tully's wife just got to go marry like Cousin
Yeah, she's
Thing.
Part of the family.
Cousin
Thing.
Like,
cousin
Thing.
Yeah.
The
thing was the hand.
The fucking furry guy.
I like when they have to leave the mansion and the gate is sad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Movies like that are fun because they have like, you know, like Lurch, kind of like the background characters that just kind of come in
so
and out.
Cool.
Yeah, like in the, you know, and Thing is the hand. And
oh,
like,
he's playing with gate.
Yeah.
The gate was, but
they have the mother. Or the,
and then I also thought what was weird though was Christina Ricci found out, you know, about like the whole plot of. It's not really Uncle Fester and they're imposters and they're just trying to take the money. She should have just ran to the ballroom and would be like, "Mom, Dad, guess what I found out?" She just ran to the mausoleum and fell asleep.
Yeah.
She did. She should have blown the whistle on that one.
It was a bad plan.
I don't know. I still give it. I still loved it.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
What's a better game than play Wake the Dead?
Wake the Dead.
That's true.
That's right. Exactly.
Wake the Dead.
Which would be a great band name.
Yes, it
would. Hey, there you go.
I think it is
Wake the
name.
Dead.
Is it?
I think it's already.
We'll
been.
Find out after. We'll
All
do some independent research on that one.
Very good. So, time to climb in the Wayback Machine. Right. Head to a magical land called 1984.
All right.
I was three.
I was not existing.
Evan was an apple in the old eye of John Boy, and you were two and you were one.
I was a deuce.
Yeah. So the thing about movies from 1984 is, like, you got to remember there was a time when, like, you didn't, like, movies kind of got funneled to you as the years went on. Like,
correct.
You didn't see movies, like, when they first came out.
You
like,
saw them in 88, 89,
yeah,
90.
So, like, and when I was, like, 7, 8, 9, that's when I was chewing up all these 1984 movies. You know,
and I didn't really realize how old they were, though.
Right.
You
no,
know
you
what
don't
I mean? Like, once I finally, like, got around to the Goonies, because it definitely wasn't, like, brand new. I know that was, like, 85 or 86.
Yeah, it was 85 or 86.
But still, though, it didn't really occur to me when I would watch older movies.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name them, because they're probably on your list. You know, I wasn't like, oh, wow, this movie's, like, 7 years old.
But it's that saying, if I haven't seen it, it's new to me.
It's new to me. I'll take it.
So we're gonna cross over like hell on this. I even excluded a couple movies that I knew you were going to pick. So, and it was kind of slim pickings. You're right. I'm going through. There weren't as many classes as I thought.
Because
I wanted to compare 94 to 84 and what was better. So let's quickly, do you mind if I start?
Go for it.
All right, my number five movie from 1984 is, it's not a great movie, but I love it. And every time it's on, it's a sit down and watch this movie type of situation. My number five movie is a movie called Red Dawn.
Yeah, I almost put on my list.
Red Dawn is a story of the Russians and the Cubans invading the United States and starting World War III. And it follows a group of high school students. They named themselves the Wolverines after their school mascot.
Led by Patrick Swayze.
The cast in this movie is really good.
It's pretty crazy.
It's so we got Patrick Swayze, C. Thomas Howell, Leah Thompson, Charlie Sheen, Jennifer Grey, Harry Dean Stanton, and friend of the podcast, Powers Booth.
Powers fucking Booth.
And this movie was this movie was sort of terrifying for me as a child.
Yeah, this.
Because you see that and you go, well, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
You're like,
when the time period.
When they shoot at all the kids in the school and the teacher and everything, you're like, fuck.
In the opening fuck credits.
Yes, yes.
That's that starts out strong and it keeps going. And
the Avenge Me scene is pretty heavy.
Yeah, with the dad.
It's kind of scary. It's very scary.
It is.
Like, the tone. It's not like, oh, they're invading, let's go and get them and kick their ass in America.
Very somber.
It's very like, holy fuck, we're fucked.
And they all die except for two characters.
Yeah.
All the main characters die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's super heavy. Like, one kid's like total, like the C. Thomas Howell character, he's total like, he like, it changes him. Like, it's not, I like this movie a lot. I think it's a little bit smarter than people give it credit for. And the remake, like, you can't remake this movie. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't work. It's
a character study, almost. Like,
it's fun. Yeah, like, it's a really good movie. I find it to be a very underrated 80s movie.
It's kind of, what's in it is the same thing that I like about the zombie movies.
Yeah, it does have that feel.
Adverse situation, and then you watch how it changes and molds characters and pushes them to do
things. And I do, it's something about movies that when they flip society over. You know what I mean? Like, society is broken. Like,
well, to me, that's a movie, though. Like, I want my popcorn and soda and watch something. I don't really want to watch, like, my life. I want to watch something crazy.
Yeah, so...
And this is something crazy. And,
like, a crazy thing about the story is it, like, pertains to, like, today is... the story is about American insurgents.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's essentially, like, you could flip the script on that and it's basically, like, the insurgent... Like, the Wolverines are to what, like, there is a, like, insurgents in, like, Middle Eastern countries fighting against us.
Oh, yeah.
It's essentially the same deal.
Yeah.
It's like this...
Different motives, but
right,
same
it's like this guerrilla warfare with, like, you know, and their army can't handle because they're on their territory. You know what I mean? They know the mountains.
They know the lay of the land.
Exactly.
And that's how they got it.
They had such a hard time fighting them. So, I love Red Dawn. I'm not gonna front. Red Dawn is a great film.
Don't front.
Don't front. I would never front.
Don't frown either.
So I'm gonna say that Red Dawn has stood the test of time.
I agree.
Oh, it definitely has.
And it's tough too because I have shown that to people that were younger than me, and they're like, "Nah, I don't know." They kind of like frown, not frown, but like they weren't interested.
It's the time period.
It is. It's,
it really is.
Yeah, you're right. So that's my number five. Evan, what do you got for number five?
My number five is a old classic.
They're all old classics.
I know. No, this movie is just kind of, I can't describe it. It's just, it's not a good movie, like yours. It's not a great movie, but I just like it a lot. I saw it when I was a kid, and I always loved it. Talk about Neverending Story.
Woo!
Yeah.
I love that movie.
I love that movie, too. It's not good.
Talk about it. No, it's not good.
It has a really weird story and really no resolution.
Nope.
But it's just a...
Because it's never ending.
No,
exactly.
It's just a
obviously.
Weird... It's just a weird movie.
It makes me feel weird.
It does.
Does that make sense?
That's
like a
exactly.
fever dream the whole
yeah,
movie.
It's...
Because there's no rules.
It's very unnerving if you're a young... Obviously, we're all young when we saw it.
Yes.
And there's just something about the never ending story. It's not a feel good movie.
No, but they don't...
No.
It's because they don't explain the rules. So it's almost
right.
like cartoon rules while you watch it.
Yeah.
And they don't even explain it while it's happening.
Yeah.
It's just like, try and keep up.
Just a kid
and
reading,
then they make this
a kid
movie.
Reading a book in a storm.
Yep.
And here it is.
Bastion, save me.
And this movie also made a list that we did not
yeah.
a while ago, which was movies that made us cry.
No, it was movies that scarred us for life.
Yeah.
That, yes,
yeah.
Because
yes.
The,
and
the swamp of sadness.
The swamp
yes.
of sadness.
Oh,
scene.
My
swamp
God.
Of sadness.
Yes.
Yeah, Atreyu.
That scene
yes.
has destroyed me as a kid. still does.
Yeah.
Also,
oh, the nothing. That's what it was.
The nothing.
Yeah. No, oh, that thing was scary as shit.
You know what scene scares the shit out of me is when he's in the river and he's like on either side are those statues with. Do they have boobs?
Yes, they do.
They have boobs
and lasers.
And lasers that shoot up. That fucking scene scares
the whole thing like
fuck
crumbles
out of me.
Or something.
Yeah. Something like that. I don't know. It's such a weird
movie.
The
whole thing's fucking
and
really
the,
weird.
And the rock. It has. This, it just has a lot of really standout things that you can't forget about, like
the rock guy.
Yeah, yeah. What's his name?
Rock biter.
He was the
rock
biter.
Yeah,
the
like you can't forget about that stuff.
It is a very unique movie.
I don't love it.
No, neither do I.
But I've seen it a lot. It stands out. It's a very, like I said, unique. Very.
Everyone's trying to escape.
I remember the sequel being on a lot.
Another. Yeah, the sequel.
But
sucks.
I don't remember anything about it.
And who doesn't want a Falcor?
Oh, everyone wants.
Awesome.
Everyone wants a Falcor.
Also, one last thing that was also terrifying with those wolves.
The wolves, yeah.
Yeah.
The ones that
wolves.
Are, like, stalking. Yeah. All right, let's move on. I'm going to have nightmares tonight. Just kidding. All right, my number four is not a great movie. This is a theme. No, my first two movies are, like, movies that, like, critics would be like, yeah, that's not good. But they're movies that I really liked at a young age.
It stinks. What reference is that? What am I referencing?
The Critic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is the 90s cartoon.
Yeah, it wasn't a good show.
Starring
John Lovitz.
Okay.
All right. My number three movie is a movie starring Henry Thomas and Dabney Coleman.
Nice. I love Dabney Coleman.
And enemy of the podcast, William Forsythe.
Oh, fuck William Forsythe.
Fuck William Forsythe.
We met William Forsythe.
We'll get into that
he
later.
He was a dick.
All right. I'm talking about Cloak and Dagger. Does anybody remember Cloak and Dagger?
No.
I know what it is.
It is a movie about a kid who's his mom's dead and he's really not close with his dad. And he's like super into this Atari game, Cloak and Dagger. And basically what ends up happening is there's like this secret spy shit in the cartridge that he buys. And people are trying to like get him. And it's like this whole like Cloak and Dagger plays out.
Yeah.
And like he keeps imagining like the hero from the video game. And it's played by Dabney Coleman, who also plays his dad. And his dad like saves him at the end. But it's a really fun movie.
It's really cool.
I think I have to watch
it. State though, right?
A little bit. And it was another movie that I watched as a kid. And it's kind of frightening. Because it's like this little kid running from, like, adults that are trying to, like, capture him, and it's kind of scary.
Which were a lot of movies back in the
80s.
Yes. Kidnapping was a big thing in the 80s.
Yeah, it was.
Pretty huge.
I could name you, like, five movies off the top of my head about adults chasing children.
And it, like, kind of scarred you as a kid.
Yeah.
It's weird. But, Cloak and Dagger is a really fun movie. Like I said, it's not great, but it's, like, a fun, like, plus it gives me all sorts of feels because it's about an Atari game. And there's, like, they're all, like, Atari nerds and stuff. So, like, it's a really, I don't know, I find it to be a very fun movie. I haven't seen it in so long, but when I saw it, that was a 1984 movie, I was like, well, that was clearly one of my favorite movies growing up.
Yeah.
So I hope there's at least a handful of people listening to the podcast that remember Cloak and Dagger. Please message me and say yes to Cloak and Dagger.
Please say yes.
All right, so that was my number four. Everybody, what do you got for number four?
Number four.
I'm
on two.
You shouldn't be.
No, I did two. I did two movies, and I started. So
you've
this is your
one.
Second movie.
That's what I said. I'm on two.
Yeah, or I'm going backwards. Four, two, doesn't matter.
Oh. Okay. My number two.
All right.
You know, I'm not a huge. I'm not like the biggest fan of these movies, but they definitely like they're one of the greatest movies. Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay. Talk briefly about it because this is going higher on my list.
Okay. It's just the start of a. It kicked off a great, you know, a legendary horror movie franchise.
We'll get into this in honorable mentions. A lot of franchises started in 1984,
and it's still, you know, holds up to this day. It's still fucking scary.
Yep.
And it's just really good, and just kind of needed something to fill my list.
I will expand on that as we go. All right, so I'm gonna hit my number three. My number three is a movie that came out in 1984.
No shit.
Yep, I know, big surprise. Starring Eddie Murphy.
Oh.
This is a movie called, this has also been on one of my old lists for greatest opening scenes in any movie. This is Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
Beverly Hills
yeah.
Cop has stood the test of time as being a great, funny comedy action.
Movie is friggin' hilarious.
It's still funny. There's still like so many great scenes. He was amazing back in the 80s. Yes, Eddie was. Murphy was awesome.
And he was charming as fuck, too.
Yes, like, his charisma was
Jesus Christ.
Out of this world. He was so good in the first.
I don't know if you know what Beverly I mean. Beverly Hills Cop. I don't know if you know what I mean by this, but there's two kinds of people in this world. There's Beverly Hills Cop fans and there's Lethal Weapon fans.
Yes.
I'm a Lethal Weapon fan.
I know you are.
I get you.
And I'm not so much a Lethal Weapon fan.
I love Lethal Weapon.
I'm more, I guess, maybe more lighthearted. Did you know that Beverly Hills Cop 2 was directed by Tony Scott?
No.
Go back and rewatch it someday. It is totally Tony Scott.
Interesting.
It is very interesting. But I mean, we've talked about Beverly Hills Cop before. If you've seen it, obviously, like I said before, it's kicked off a pretty, I don't want to say lucrative franchise, but a franchise nonetheless.
It's a well-known franchise.
It goes downhill quickly.
I don't think so much like for the sequels, but just the fact of, I think everybody knows.
Yeah. I mean, Eddie Murphy is fantastic in this movie. The two cops, played by Judge Reinhold and the other guy.
Judge Reinhold.
Judge. He's a judge. And he's holding court on your television.
Jay Reinhold.
So that's my number three, Beverly Hills Cop.
I mean, it had bananas and tailpipes.
It did have bananas and tailpipes. You take these bananas. All right, Evan, what's your number three?
Number three is not the greatest movie out of the three, but it is, I still love it. I still love a lot about it. I should say out of the four, it's not the best out of, actually, okay, never mind, forget it. I'm talking about Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Okay, yes. Did not make my list because I knew it would make yours, so... Speak away.
It's a lot more goofier than the other.
It is.
We sent the other one to hell, so we're not going to talk about it.
Which one?
What are you talking about?
Exactly. So,
do you think it's the lesser of the three?
Yes.
Let's have a debate right now. It's of the definitely three Indiana Jones movies, this is less.
It's the less.
Yeah, I agree. The least favorite of three amazing movies.
Yes, three fucking amazing movies with an amazing fucking character.
I mean, that's like you telling me what your favorite Star Wars film is from, like, the original trilogy.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean the other two are shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Take your pick of three pieces of gold.
It's the lesser of the three, but who doesn't fucking love Short Round?
Short Round is
great. No, he really is great.
The thing about Temple of Doom is it's almost sort of horror movie-ish in a way.
Yeah.
There's
parts that are really fucking...
You have monkey brains.
Yes.
You have eyeball soup.
Yep. The
you
fucking...
have your heart being pulled out of your chest.
Yeah, that was heavy shit, man.
The dinner scene is fucking disgusting.
Yes.
The opening scene is amazing.
My favorite part is...
It was.
The track. The
mine carts.
The mine carts.
Yes,
that's my favorite scene.
There's the opening scene is great. They're in Club Obi-Wan.
Oh, would you like
wink.
The antidote?
Yeah.
Antidote
yes.
for what? For the poison you just drank.
There's that scene.
Yes.
There's the raft scene.
That was cool.
You know, speaking of fucking crazy scene, like horror movie style scenes, he takes the fucking skewer and tosses it
in his chest. Kills the guy. Yes, it's awesome.
Holy shit.
In a fucking bar.
So
in a cocktail lounge.
Yes.
The Club Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, there's the raft scene, and then there's the minecart scene. The problem is a lot of the stuff in between is really not great.
It kind of gets slow.
And
the
female lead is terrible.
She
super
is
annoying.
Very dramatic.
She lowers the score of this movie.
Wasn't she, like, married to Steven Spielberg
or something?
Yeah, and that's what she got
Capshaw.
In the
movie. Yeah, she...
Yeah,
she's not a good character. Just in general, she's not a good character.
And I want everybody to do yourself a favor and go back and listen to the...
Short Round should have been the romantic... lead.
No time for love, Dr. Jones.
Everybody knows that the score to all the Indiana Jones movies are amazing, but I love the song that plays during when Indy is freeing all the children.
Yes.
It's a great song. I love it. I have it on my iPod.
It's pretty
trendy.
John Williams was on point during great called it Raiders
Temple
of Doom.
And I love the scene when he's about to face off like a bunch of it's a throwback to the first
to
movie
Raiders,
to Raiders and he there's a bunch of guys with swords
and he
goes to reach for his gun and it's not even there.
Yes.
Whereas you know, in the first movie, he takes out his gun and shoots the swordsman.
One last interesting point about Temple of Doom that I didn't realize until quite recently, it is a prequel to Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, it takes place before...
It takes place before Raiders.
Yeah.
Huh.
Which is weird. It's not really talked about, but it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they give the year at the beginning of Temple of
Doom,
and
it's before. Was it like 1938 or something?
It's before Raiders.
Yeah.
And I think that, and I think they were trying to explain that, like, he wasn't battling with not... Like, he couldn't just, like, not battle Nazis, I guess. So, like, it actually, the order of the movies goes Temple, Raiders and Last Crusade.
But it actually works in with the TV show, where the TV show spanned different times and different episodes. Like, there would be an episode of him as, like, a teenager, and then there'd be an episode of him as a kid.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess that's originally where they wanted to go with it.
But, Sean Patrick Flannery as young Indiana Jones.
I know. It's good. Hey, that show still holds up. It showed up on Netflix for a very brief time, and I watched the shit.
I will say that it's good, but the most disappointing thing ever was you found out Harrison Ford was going to be in an episode.
He's in an episode.
And he was, and he's like an old fuck playing a saxophone.
It's a shitty episode.
It sucks.
Yeah.
It's a crap episode.
It's worth it to go on Netflix, go on YouTube and watch those scenes.
But even still, like, you're like, oh, he's going to be indie, and he's like, he is, but he's not.
He's got, like, a beard, I think, in that episode, too.
It's a disservice.
It is a disservice. You're absolutely right.
Oh, and it takes place during, like, it takes place during the winter, too, so it's, like, indie and, like, snow settings, which is different. But, yeah, it's not a good episode.
All right, so,
it's a disservice, you're right. It's a disservice to the character.
All right.
You're absolutely right.
Oh, my number two is, again, it's not a great movie, but it's still
one. What year was it?
Lots of shit came out.
You'd be surprised. 1984 is when this movie came out. Directed by a man named John Avildsen, who directed a movie that you would know as the first Rocky movie.
Ooh.
He also directed The Karate Kid.
Ah.
And what do I love more than I don't. I love The Karate Kid, but not for the Ralph Macchio character. I love me some Cobra Kai.
It's true.
And Cobra Kai.
Yep.
Wait, how are you saying this is not a good movie?
It's not a... I mean, it is a good movie. I love it. But, like, if you go back...
It depends on by what standards.
Yeah, exactly. But I love The Karate Kid. And I watch it with such rose-colored glasses. Actually, no, wrong. I watch it from a different point of view. Because in my mind, Cobra Kai are not the villains.
No.
He was a...
We had a whole talk about
this. He was a prick. He was a prick and a half, and he had that shit coming to him.
He caused two different car accidents in both movies.
He was a prick, and they were just taking care of business.
Yeah.
You do not show up into a new town, scoop up dude's girl, and be like, well, go got beat up, when?
Jersey boy moves to Reseda and thinks that he's going to push papers? I don't think
Bullshit. You show up in a new town, you keep your fucking head low, you keep your nose clean.
He didn't.
No.
Hey, this guy did.
Exactly.
Right?
He should have done the right thing. He should have joined Cobra Kai.
He should have...
And fucking...
Everybody knows that. They respect it.
Yes.
Yes.
And
everybody knows that.
I will say that this movie... When I love me some montages. This movie has my favorite... The You're the Best Around... That is my favorite movie montage of all time. It's so good.
Better than Bloodsport?
On par. A little bit better.
That's okay. Close.
But here's my problem with that montage. And I was watching it recently. I watched it like a month ago. It's on Netflix. And I watched that part and I'm thinking to myself, Dutch, the kid with the blonde hair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If he went on to face Johnny, don't you think that would have been much more interesting movie?
That would have been sick.
That would have been crazy. And actually, not even Dutch. Actually, the finals are, it's Johnny and some dude, and then it's Danielson, and his name is Bobby Brown. That's the kid that he fights.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's the kid that sweeps the leg, and he's like, I'm sorry, Daniel, I'm sorry. All right, say he just fucking wipes out Daniel. And then he's got to face Johnny in the finals.
Oh.
That would have been an awesome fucking ending.
I want to see that.
I want to see that movie. Cobra Kai split in two.
John Kreese had every right to be pissed.
He should have been bullshit.
They got beat by a guy with one leg.
Yes. He should have been mad.
He should have been really fucking bullshit.
My favorite... I love part two because it fucking opens with basically the end of Karate Kid. Like,
really
they extend the ending.
Is... The tie-up, I think you were the one that had to explain it to me, the tie-up about his girlfriend. Why isn't she, you know what I mean? Like, why isn't she in it? And she just broke up with him because she wanted to date
and
a college boy.
You know what's funny? He does the same fucking thing in the second movie. He goes
he goes to a land he doesn't belong.
And he scoops up somebody's girl.
Yeah, and he starts
And they're
shit.
Pissed, and he doesn't know why.
Right. And the funny
learn your lesson.
Yes. And the funny thing about the Karate Kid trilogy, if you really break it down, which I have.
Oh, yeah.
It literally, part one, two, and three takes place in 1 year. One year.
What
and he gets super fat
year.
In the third movie.
Yeah, he did.
Because he's got to defend his title in the third movie.
Do you think if you were Daniel-san's mom, Would you fucking let him go to Okinawa?
No, not like for a moment.
She was like the worst mom ever. She's like, gonna go to the diner.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not for a hot minute would I let him go to Okinawa. That's with this really weird old dude.
Who paid for that?
I don't know.
I know why she always picked up and left, because he's stirring up trouble.
I know, it's true.
They got run out of Jersey.
Yeah. They ended up in Reseda. And
they try and make it seem like he was hot shit.
Right.
In New Jersey. No, he wasn't. He was Squaresville.
Peaks of crap.
Since the start.
But, yeah.
I think the cops would have picked him up a long time ago. I think they'd be like, why is it wherever you go people want to fight
him? He caused that car pileup after when he was running away from the Halloween dance.
Even when I watched the second
movie.
They
were runners. They were running.
He, like, Chosen? He has that kind of, like, that grifter thing going on, and Daniel, like, fucking, like, exposes him to everybody.
Yeah.
It's like, I'd kick his ass, too. I got a little fucking business going here. Don't point out what I'm doing and ripping people off. Fuck you.
Yeah.
So it's bullshit, all of it.
What a little piece of shit.
Yeah. Fuck him.
Danielson.
Yeah. So watch it through from my perspective. Villain.
Yeah, he wasn't that good at karate neither.
No, it was bad. And I want to point out one inconsistency with this movie. They do say at one point, no kicks to the face. How does he win the tournament? Kick to the face. Just saying.
Bullshit.
Bullshit. So that's all I'm saying.
I do love Sato, though.
Sato's badass.
Dude, he made a decent dent in that giant, you know, that giant thing? Mm-hmm. I think I watched Karate Kid Part 2 like 7 times in a row because I recorded it on FX and just kept falling asleep to it.
So you gotta reset.
So I just kept watching it because I can't not. So right. I think I've watched Karate Kid Part 2.
All right, Evan, what do you got for number 2?
My next movie is, it's a classic. I had to put it on the list. Ghostbusters.
Yep.
Yeah.
I had to put Ghostbusters on the list.
I didn't put it on there because I knew you would. This should technically be my number one, but I would kind of leave it out there. Ghostbusters is one of those movies. It's corny to say it like transcends like generations, but it really does.
It does.
Yeah. And I just want to use this moment to really hammer my point home and say that they should never make another Ghostbusters movie.
No.
I'm sick and tired of my Facebook blowing up with people, like, just putting up, like, articles about, like, they're finally making it.
Just watch the first one again.
Right. Just revisit the old one.
I'd be open to this. I don't know if anybody else would. It's just my opinion. But if they went ahead and made, like, a community-style, like TV show comedy of Ghostbusters, I wouldn't mind seeing
it. That would work a hell of a lot more than a
TV. They are supposedly making the new movie, and it's going to be an all-female Ghostbusting team.
How well would a TV series work? It would be great.
It would be better.
And I wouldn't even care if it was a Ghost of the Week.
Sci-fi.
Right, well, yeah, obviously, yeah.
Yeah, no, it makes it
a lot more episodic. Because it is kind of, make a very episodic.
I think Dexter's locked in your bathroom.
He's fine. Dexter, you need help? No, he's fine. I told you.
Oh, he's good.
Like if they got like a cast of comedians, like young comedians, I would be totally cool with that.
I would hate to see Donald Glover as Winston, but
like who?
I just don't want any of it.
Who from the cast? They could even bring in like an old cast member from the movie in the show.
You want to bring back Ernie Hudson?
Fuck it, yeah, do it.
That'd be cool.
I seen shit.
Turn you white. But yeah, I love Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters is a great movie. It is.
Steady,
and again,
get involved, I'll believe anything you want.
And again, it is a movie that still holds up. The only bummer about Ghostbusters is that Eddie Murphy was supposed to play the Winston character, and I would love to have read the original script. Because he was a much more prominent character, and then when he dropped out, they were like, well, we'll keep the character. We'll just make it not as
important. But I love some Ernie Hudson, though.
No, he's good, but his character's pointless.
I think there's a really good dynamic, though.
Yeah, all the actors are great.
Like, Bill Murray is kind of like the lone wolf of the group.
Yeah.
You know, Dan Aykroyd and Bill Dramas really hang out together.
It is the classic foursome. It is the looks, the brains, the muscle, and the wild card.
Yep, there you go.
That's all you need, man.
That's true.
Yep. Bill Murray's the looks. Yeah. The brains is
Egon.
The muscle is Winston. The wild card is Dan Aykroyd.
Really? I would have thought Bill Murray was the wild card.
Nah, he's the looks.
He really is the looks. He's the looks. He is charming as shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess we do. We have the the looks, the brains, the muscle, and the wild card.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
All right.
We just did it in the room and pointed at
who was... Yeah, we did ourselves.
Who do you think is who? Email me at... no, it doesn't exist. Just kidding. So yeah, anything else you want to say about Ghostbusters? Or do you want to...
It's just a classic. It's got a great ending. I mean, you can't forget about...
It's got a great opening.
It's a great opening, yeah, it does.
Scary opening.
Let's talk about that.
Sigourney Weaver is fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. She had a great run in the 80s.
Oh my god.
She was on top.
Well, she shows up in female, another movie, in another actress. Horror movie, and I couldn't have been happier when she showed up in Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was like, nobody can be this character except for Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
And you can't forget about the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
No.
This is a very funny scene.
It's a very iconic villain.
Rick Moranis is friggin' hilarious in there.
Yes. I am the...
I am the gatekeeper.
I am
the keymaster.
I am Vince Clortho. Keymaster of Gozer.
No, when he talks to the guy with the horse, and he's like, and he talks to the horse, and then he runs away and runs over the trash and goes, what an asshole. I love that
fucking he was talking to the horse, and he was like,
don't worry,
like,
I'll free you.
Stay fast. I'll free you.
And he runs away and trips over the trash. The guy goes, what an asshole.
He was a good actor.
Yes, he was. So, good pick, Evan.
Thank you.
To create diversity, I did not put it on my list. My number one... And I'm just going to stick to it. You mentioned earlier. My number one movie from 1984 is A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
Nightmare on Elm
Street.
Sorry
for picking your
number one. It's okay. Nightmare on Elm Street is an iconic horror movie. It's one of my favorite horror movies of all time. It kickstarted a franchise. I've watched documentaries about Nightmare on Elm Street. I've seen
There's one on Netflix right now.
The one on Netflix covers every single movie.
Yeah, and it's probably about 4 hours long almost.
I've watched the whole thing.
I do
want to
say.
It's fantastic.
Never
Sleep Again.
Is what it's called.
It's excellent, and it gets right in there with every movie, how it was developed. It gets into like all the pop culture.
I mean,
and everything.
When I sit down to watch it, it's in parts.
Yeah,
it's nice,
but that movie
long.
Is
it's
legitimately terrifying. It still holds up today. It's still scary.
Yep.
Let me tell you what my favorite part is.
Okay, go
right. The coolest thing about it is that you have horror movies, which obviously are either really gory or gross out factor or this and that.
Yeah.
The horror in Nightmare on Elm Street stays true to the fact that it's a nightmare.
It's cerebral.
So everything
that
happens is very surreal, like nightmarish things happening.
I have a thing about Nightmare on Elm Street is it legitimately scares me.
Yes.
It can attack you in real life.
Yeah.
Because you can have dreams about Freddy Krueger in real life.
Yes.
And that's why I don't like it. When it can reach out to me in real life,
Friday the 13th doesn't scare me. I love Halloween. Michael Myers doesn't scare me. Texas Chainsaw Massacre is not scary to me. But for some reason...
We've all had nightmares.
Yes.
And they are like that. They're like the marshmallow stairs.
I don't like it because I think it's bad.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't like it because it touches me personally in a bad way.
Right.
That one scene, she's trying to get up the stairs
and
her
it's marshmallow, yes. We've all had, you're walking in quicksand and all
it's
that
these
shit.
Very cerebral.
And you have to give so much credit to Wes Craven for creating that universe and really tapping into. Yes,
it really was brilliant.
It's
one of the smartest horror movies.
Yeah, I agree.
I can't
totally agree.
It's that same feeling of you're in a dream and you're punching and you just can't hit hard.
Yeah, they nailed it.
You try and scream and you have no voice.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they kind of turned Freddy into a joke and the later movies don't really hit the way the first one does. But if that standalone, if that was the only one you ever saw, that's terrifying. It's a great movie.
I really
can't overstate. It's really a well-made movie. Like, it gets kind of swept under the rug. It's like, oh, it's just like a cheap horror movie, whatever.
It's a
fantastic movie.
It hits you after you watch it, because after the credits roll, hey, good night.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah.
You know, it really sticks with you.
Yeah.
Poltergeist did that for me, too.
Yeah, that's a good
That one
kind of
got me, because that one, like, hits you at home, almost.
Yeah.
Like, the one place that you should be safe.
So, Evan, we got one more movie. I'm
sure everybody knows where I'm going with this.
Yeah, 1984 was a good year for Evan.
It birthed the franchise of one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah.
Talking about Terminator.
Yeah, first Terminator movie.
James Cameron.
And
James Cameron's, like, one of his first
It was
huge.
His first big-budget Hollywood movie. And, the thing about Terminator, we've obviously mentioned this on the podcast before, but the first Terminator movie, it's watched as like a horror movie.
Yeah.
It's a horror movie. It's being stalked by a killer.
It's Michael Myers with a machine gun.
Yes, exactly. Well put. But yeah, I love the first Terminator movie was great. I love the soundtrack.
Soundtrack is crazy good. If you were to think of 1984, I would think of the soundtrack to
when
Terminator.
They're getting chased through the tunnel.
Some rototoms.
Or the song when they're in the Club Tech Noir.
I love my iPod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got me burned.
It's a good song.
It's a great song.
I mean, my wish for Terminator would be I wish that I could watch it in like 1984 and not really know.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Because I knew so much about the story.
It didn't do well at all, no.
You know, I know so much about it by the time that I saw it.
You know what's funny? You mentioned that because the first thing I look at when I was researching movies from 1984, I looked at the top grossing movies. Not a lot of them made my list. I was kind of bummed. I was like, really? That's it? And then I started going through all... I was like, oh, good. All right, that's a good movie. That's a good movie. That's a good movie. Not a lot, like, I think it was like Temple of Doom was pretty high up there on the grossing. Yeah. Stuff like that.
I mean,
Ghostbusters made a shitload of money.
I have a list of honorable
movies. I have a bunch, too. So let's just hit on that. Evan, no love for Amadeus?
No, sorry.
Amadeus.
What's that guy's name?
F. Murray Abraham?
Yeah.
He killed Mozart?
He killed Moho.
Moho.
Zot.
Mozart.
All right, so Corey, if you want to run down a couple that you got that you want to talk about real fast.
Maybe go back and forth. Footloose came out.
Yep, yeah. Footloose was on my
honorable
mentions.
I mean, that was big
mentions.
For some people.
I'm not a huge fan of Footloose.
I'm really not.
I'm a bigger fan of the soundtrack. Just saying, I have it on vinyl.
There you go.
John Hughes' 16 Candles.
Yep.
Came out.
You know, I was almost certain that you were going to put Gremlins on your list.
Gremlins was very close to making my list.
Yeah.
I mean, in that movie definitely has some scary shit that's not
Gremlins
so much a kid's movie.
Also makes my top five non-traditional Christmas movies.
Yep.
Yes.
Along with Die Hard.
I do watch it every Christmas. I do.
Yeah. I also thought you were going to put
Batman Returns.
I also thought you were going to put Last Starfighter on your list, too.
Was that 1984?
Oh, yeah.
Are you positive?
Positive as fuck, my friend.
Oh my god, I fucking overlooked.
You're getting a star next to it. How about that?
I've used Last Starfighter on a list, so I don't feel super guilty, but are you familiar with The Last Starfighter?
It's another movie
about
video games.
It's my top movie that needs to be remade.
Yeah.
It needs to be remade yesterday.
Yeah.
Dune.
Yeah, Dune, which is not a good movie.
No, it's boring as hell.
A horror movie that I like, it's on Netflix right now, Children of the Corn.
Children of the Corn, and...
Is that the one, is Linda Hamilton in that?
Yep, yes. Linda Hamilton. Yes.
Friday the 13th.
What do they keep yelling?
The last, the final chapter.
What's the scene where he keeps yelling that guy's name?
Malachi!
Yeah.
He wants you to, Malachi.
That's
highly rated.
Yes.
Police Academy.
Yep.
I still think that movie's hilarious.
Let me name a couple real quick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hot Dog the Movie.
Where did you learn English? The Police Academy movies.
The Police Academy movies. All right, so we got Hot Dog the Movie. Anybody familiar with Hot Dog the Movie?
No.
It's great.
Oh, is Groper Train on there?
No, not yet.
That's a movie. That is a real movie.
Something I've mentioned before on here, Streets of Fire. It was Walter Hill's follow-up to The Warriors.
Yeah, I
love
saw,
Streets of Fire. Love me some fucking Diane Lane. Starman.
The lovely Diane Lane.
Starman, directed by Mr. Juan Carpenter.
Oh, yeah.
With Jeff Bridges. Tank. Anyone remember Tank with James Garner?
No, but I fucking love James Garner.
That's a dad movie.
Yeah.
Dad loves him some Tank. Purple Rain. No love for Purple Rain, guys.
I saw
Purple Rain is a good movie.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, I love me some Prince.
That is a crazy soundtrack.
That's so
Morris
good.
Day and the Time.
Yeah, that was close to make my top five, but I do like Purple Rain, but I don't love it. I don't own it.
No.
So you said 16 Candles. Revenge of the Nerds.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's another franchise that was...
That movie is still hilarious.
I do question the fact that he basically rapes a girl at the end of the movie.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, he kind of does. He, like, tricks a girl to, like, he pretends that he's somebody else and, like, has sex with this girl.
But the whole...
It's like, wow, you should go to jail.
But, like, the whole drunken race scene...
Yeah. That's a good movie.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and finally, on my honorable mentions, this is Spinal Tap.
Yep.
Yeah.
What else you got, Corey? What are you rocking over there?
Romancing the Stone came out.
Yeah, not a good movie.
Oh, you know what movie we don't fucking talk about?
What?
I think it's The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai.
Oh, Peter Weller.
With Peter Weller.
Is that 84?
I think that's 84.
Conan the Destroyer.
Nah, not good.
Not good. Splash with Tom Hanks. Not a good movie.
No, thank you.
You know what's funny about Conan the Destroyer? They're omitting that from the
From the mythology?
They should.
For King, for the next Conan movie coming out with Arnold.
Yeah.
King Conan. They're not counting Conan the story.
Top Secret.
With Val Kilmer.
And I still think that movie's funny.
It's a decent movie.
Star Trek 3 came out.
Search for Spock. Right?
Yeah, that falls into the only the even Star Trek movies are the good ones. Mm-hmm. Yep. So you had Wrath of Khan and then you had Search for Spock. Search for Spock is the one I've seen the most, by the way. Not good. Yeah, not great.
The Natural.
Quick thing about Search for Spock, Christopher Lloyd played a Klingon.
Yeah, he did. That's the one. Yeah, that's why he plays Klingon,
Yes, it is.
The Killing Fields. If you've not seen that, that's actually a really good movie about Cambodia, fights in Cambodia. It's really to bring us down, Corey. Really, really good movie. Firestarter.
With Drew Barrymore.
Friday the 13th, Final Chapter.
We were having two conversations at once at one point.
Yeah, we were. Bachelor Party.
Yes, Bachelor Party. Bachelor Party is not a great movie, but it's funny.
It's still funny.
Bachelor Party is a great movie. It's really funny.
With the wiener.
Yeah.
I like the part when the guy's hanging out of the window and his ass is hanging out.
All right, you know what? Retract my statement. It's a good movie. Funny.
The horse.
Yeah, the horse. Oh, the horse with the cocaine.
Such a good movie.
Toxic Avenger.
Woo! Wow. That's even more. Holy hell.
Toxic Avenger.
Low budget, but good.
It is very good.
Trauma. Can't deny Trauma.
First Trauma movie, right?
Yeah.
Ghoulies. That's on Netflix right now.
Fucking Ghoulies.
Chud.
Is Chud 84?
Yeah, it is.
Fuck.
Could be.
I mean, there was also... Underground Dweller? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was also Breakin'.
Oh.
You might know that as the prequel to Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Is that 84?
Yep.
Garbage Day.
I like his laugh.
Muppets Take Manhattan.
Yeah, I saw that. Not a fan.
Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo was also
Double feature.
Wow, we got two break-ins.
Sick.
Not a lot of time in between.
Johnny Dangerously came out. It's kind of funny.
No, it's a terrible movie. Johnny Dangerously is not a good movie.
I guess that's...
All right, let's kill the list there. And now, my...
Like I said, lots of shit came out there in 1984.
So my thesis...
Oh, I found your Hot Dog the Movie.
Yeah, Hot Dog the Movie. So my thesis was going to be, which was the... My thesis question, I don't know, I'm using this wrong. Which was the better year, 84 or 94?
94.
And I think 94 are more important
94
movies.
Was better, yeah.
I think we kind of had to dig through a scrap heap for 84. And I mean, there are some... They're like nostalgic movies more than anything else.
84 kicked off two great franchises, but ultimately 94 had way better movies.
What had more impressionable movies?
94, easily.
Yeah.
94 had Pulp Fiction, and I think that ends
Shawshank,
the whole,
right?
Yeah, Shawshank Redemption, The Lion King. Yeah.
If you sat on the couch and you saw a listing of like movies from 84,
I would choose
94.
Before we had both lists, I would have said 84 because I just gravitate towards 80s. Yeah, exactly. But I think after going through both years, I think 94 was the better year.
I mean, my heart would choose 1984,
but 94 was the better year.
Yeah.
So
I'm going with quantity than quality, I guess.
Yeah. Well,
if I'm going to go with quality, 84 because of Terminator and Nightmare on Elm Street and Indiana Jones. But I mean.
Was the last Starfighter on
there? Yeah, it was on
there. Yeah, missed my opportunity to talk about it.
But we'll get there. 94 had some pretty great fucking movies.
Yeah. Yeah, 94 was a bit. Did you sit in on 94?
Yes, I was.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All
right.
We'll see you in 1974.
No.
Right? No, not happening.
No.
2004.
1982, on the other hand, which we should do next.
Yeah, you just want to talk about Blade Runner.
I want to talk about Blade Runner and The Thing.
Yeah, I love The Thing.
Can we talk about top five best Blade Runners?
Yes. Number one, Decker.
What year did Big Trouble in Little China come out?
86?
Yeah, it was later in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
That was at one point in time. That was my favorite movie to rent. Was Big Trouble.
86 would be a year that I wouldn't mind getting into. I just like these anniversary years.
86 is great movies.
So in two more years, we can go back.
Well, I was thinking about. I think next we should probably tackle 2004.
86 is my favorite Jason movie. Part six.
Part six.
Yeah.
Was 2004 a good year?
It's a decent year. We'll find out.
Yes, we will.
On the podcast.
Yes, we will. We have a couple more months, and then we can start revisiting the five.
Does anybody want to send a movie to hell?
I feel like you do.
Do I?
I don't know.
Somebody does.
I haven't. I don't have anything.
Something in mind.
I don't have anything.
Or you haven't picked a movie to send to hell yet.
You know, and I don't want to take my turn right now because I don't really have any like burning desire. I mean, I feel like when I do it, I want to really.
I can choose one in a pinch, but
we can wait for next week.
Let's send The Crow 2 to hell.
You want to send The Crow 2 to
yeah.
hell?
Yeah, yeah. It's an unwatchable piece of shit.
It's. I saw that in the movies, and. Like,
you saw that in the movie theater?
I saw it in the theater. Yeah. Oh, shit. I saw it in the theater, yeah. And I remember people were, like, a guy said, thank God, when the credits rolled.
I mean, that
people
was...
People were laughing. That was the first, like, really, really disruptive... It was a very disruptive theater. You could tell the natives were restless around the 45-minute mark. Yeah. Because you knew this wasn't a good movie. And you'd paid a lot. I went, like, probably opening
it
night.
It is such a bad movie.
It's a terrible movie.
It's a sequel
movie.
To a great fucking movie.
Yes. Love the Crow. Crow 2, City of Angels. Crap.
Complete crap.
Yeah, good call.
I bought the video game, and the video game is equally bad. It's unplayable.
That sucks.
I didn't buy it. I rented it. I rented it, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a video game, the Crow 2.
What were we talking, so, PS1?
PS1, yeah.
Wow.
Oh. We can send both to hell.
Yeah.
The game is...
Anything having to do with... Actually, any Crow sequel, we can just fucking toss right
out. Can we take the entire franchise besides the first movie and just send it straight
to there's only been...
Hades. I think it's our rules.
There's only been one Crow movie.
We have the power.
Yeah. All right, so let's take all the... I don't know, because there was a couple straight to DVD. Like, they were all straight to DVD after the second
one. I think I watched,
one.
Like, the third one. It wasn't Kirsten Dunst in one?
Yeah, David Boreanaz is in one of them, but he's a bad guy.
And
sucks.
And the Crow is played by
Edward
Furlong.
Yeah, and he's, like, not even in shape.
Wait,
no,
is that
not.
The one with Kirsten Dunst?
Probably. Fuck.
No, the one with Kirsten
was
Dunst, I think, is City of Angels.
There was a right?
That was the third one. Yeah, Stairway to Heaven.
Hey, Crow was 94, wasn't it?
I think it was.
I think
it was 94, yeah.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Look at that.
All right.
Yeah, because I remember, I think I like kicked myself because I didn't put it on my list.
Yeah,
all right, so we'll take the entire franchise besides the first movie of Brandon Lee, and they're all going to hell.
Yep.
All right, let me...
Conjure up the demons.
Yep.
Here we go.
No franchise besides the first movie, I send you into the pits of Hades. All right. It was a good movie?
The Crow, yeah.
Crow's so The Crow...
That was...
It's unfortunate what happened to Brandon Lee, but it's a good thing that they really never went on to
besmirch
that
first. It would have been a disservice.
It would have been a disservice
to Brandon Lee.
Yes.
You're right. Make a sequel.
Yeah.
Without him.
I mean, being the son of such a great...
Legendary...
Hey, another movie starring Ernie Hudson.
Yeah, good call. Good call. All right, so that was a good episode.
Not starring, I'm sorry.
No, he was co-starring.
Co-starring.
Yeah, he co-signed that one.
Ernie Hudson is not the Crow in the Crow movie.
He might
he
be.
He wanted lots of onions.
He did.
Ernie Hudson likes lots of onions.
I probably mentioned this on the 94 episode when we talked about the Crow. My most bothersome thing about that movie is he constantly lights cigarettes and throws them.
Oh, I hate
he,
that.
He, like, will light a cigarette, take a drag,
wastes
and then
cigarettes.
Just get rid of it. He was like, oh, something happened, and you just throw it.
It's also
take a drag! God damn it! You know you wanted it, you lit it!
It's kind of weird, too.
Just
like,
take a puff!
Like, during the the making of, is Brandon Lee sits there and smokes a ton
light
of cigarettes.
Totally.
Okay.
No.
And you want to be like, why are you smoking cigarettes, Brandon Lee?
You know what's funny is
those things
will
kill you.
You have to think about, like, shooting
blanks will
shooting scenes over and over again, so I'm sure, like, he had a lit like 100 cigarettes.
Listen, when I was on set of Black Mass, I saw Jesse Plemons smoke 25 cigarettes.
Wow.
He was not between scenes, during scenes. Yeah, probably. They're probably those herbal ones that they smoke on Mad Men.
Now throw it away.
And now toss that. No.
No, not in the garbage.
All right, so that was a good episode. I enjoyed talking about some movies from
1984.
It was a good year. It was a Van Halen year.
No one put 1984 on their list.
It didn't come out in 1984.
Yeah, it did.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's the year the
Mac I legitimately assumed that it did not come out in 1984.
No, I'm sure they did that tried really hard to make sure that that came out.
I don't know why. I just don't really even think that movie. So
they,
whatever.
They
was a big plan. Imagine if that got fucking delayed. 1984 starring 1985. You'd be like, wow, well, that.
This movie's coming out in 1985, but it's called 1984.
I don't want to watch it. I don't get it.
Yeah. And then it came
I true. Wouldn't really watch it anyways because it's like 1984 and this is happening not right now.
And
none
then,
of that
And then Big Brother actually happened. We all signed up for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. We're all logged on right now.
I didn't sell out.
I bought in. That's a good call. All right. So that was Pop Junk Movies. Top 5 movies of 1984.
Woo! Go on Facebook. Like us.
I don't have a Facebook page.
Well, go on.
Yeah,
search
you got
it,
Pop Junker.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, Pop Junker, I gave up.
Go on the site, go on Podomatic.
Yeah, Podomatic and iTunes. That's the only two things that I'm really
Please,
pushing on people.
Just give us a bad review, a good review, an okay review.
A great review.
Maybe
awesome
a,
give me a, 19,
a piss poor review.
Give me a 1984 review.
Yes.
You guys were radical.
Yeah.
You can
far out.
Gag me with a spoon.
You can check out all our episodes on Podomatic. And
they said in
and I and on iTunes.
Yeah, thank you, Robin.
Gnarly. Rate and review.
Check out
Tubular.
Is there an email?
No.
There's still no email. We've gone on for over a year.
I might
no
just
email.
Give out my personal email.
Yeah,
we
just
had
it.
One for
I'm gonna
a
give
minute.
You my personal cell phone number.
I'll give you my address
Prop
and you can mail me a letter.
I'm gonna give my work.
Yeah, go old school. Just mail us,
write
a,
us
letter.
A letter.
Write us
baby.
A letter. Yeah.
Just
write us
just,
a nasty letter.
We'll send you a self-addressed stamped envelope to Pup Junk Movies.
Klondike 5
in East Boston, Massachusetts.
P.O. Box
184 style.
1-800-RIGNEY.
1-800-RIGNEY, because if anybody knows something about Rigney, it's Dr. Rigney.
555 Shoe.
But also 555 Rigney.
P.O. Box.
Yes, P.O. Box Pup Junk Movies. For the B. I just spelled it.
Yep.
What's on this episode?
Alright,
yeah.
I'm ready to put 1984 behind us.
I think it's about time we said goodbye to 1984. What do you guys think?
Can we let it go?
Let's let it go.
Can we let 1984 go for once in our life?
Yeah, let's look at the future. Next week, top 5 movies of 2024. Terminator Genesis Part 2.
Congo 2.
Congo 2. Finally.
Amy, good gorilla.
Stop eating sesame cake.
All right, good night.